Come out of the world, oh my people.
Welcome to Torah Life Ministries, teaching about the instructions of our Creator and putting His Word into action. From suffering well to living a blessed life, looking forward to the hope and future that awaits true believers of the faith. Welcome to the show with your host, Paul Nisan.
Hello, everybody. This is Paul with Torah Life Ministries. Thank you for checking out this program. We are doing the Suffer Well devotional series, and this is one of my favorite ones that I've read so far. This is the 315th reading of this series, and the name of this ministry is Torah Life Ministries, Torah being the guidelines and instructions of our Creator, giving us life. And Yeshua, the one they call Jesus, is known as the living Torah because he was living according to the guidelines and instructions of our Creator. We are going to read right now this devotional titled Home Inspection. And think about this, and then you'll realize why this is so good and why I feel this is one of the favorite ones and the ones we need to think about. We think about who Yeshua is and what he did for us, and it's very powerful. And as we read this now, it says, so often we hear others say, I need to try harder, in reference to their spiritual life. Their commitment to Yahweh, nothing makes the Ruach to cringe more than a statement like this. It is this type of thinking that reveals a foundation built upon sand, Matthew 7:26, a foundation that will not remain when testing comes. A simple question should surface to turn the sand into solid rock. If there was anything at all about you that was good enough to satisfy the standard of righteousness required by Yahweh, then why was it necessary for his son to be impaled? Can you acknowledge that? You must decide whether or not Yeshua, the Messiah, died because you had some shortcomings and erroneous thought processes, or if he died because there was nothing good in you and your entire mindset was depraved. How you answer this is everything to do with your ability to build your house, your dwelling for your thoughts, and on what kind of foundation you built it. We'll give you two hints. Psalms 127 verse 1 says, unless Yahweh builds the house, the builders labor in vain. And Mark 3:25 says, if a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. The natural mind, led by ego, must repeatedly deal with the thoughts that tempt you to reminisce about some goodness that was in you prior to Messiah's work in you. It's simply not true, loved one. There was none. The goodness in you now is only because of Yeshua in you. The only goodness you will ever have is the Messiah in you, the hope of glory, Colossians 1:27. You must continually arrest any thoughts that attempt to convince you that all of a sudden you have yourself what it takes. You must demolish all arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of the Mighty One and takes captive every thought to make it obedient to Messiah. 2 Corinthians 10:5. John the Baptist announced prevailing thought patterns that must consistently invade your mind. I must decrease. John 3 verse 30. His denial of any self-goodness was a declaration of spiritual beheading, a foreshadowing of his physical beheading, Mark 6, 14-29. If you are reclaimed by his redemption, you have testified. Behold, the Lamb of Yahweh, but you have had your beheading. It's time to listen closely again, loved one. As we expound on this idea, using a critical incident to the scriptures, when the Philippian prison guard asked Shaul, what must a man do to be saved? In Acts 16:30, the question is far more profound than it appears. when you read it in the English language or even in a representative in Greek translations. Consider for a moment the Hebrew idea of salvation as understood by Shaul, who was being asked a question in context. He would be answering this question, what must a man do to be like Yahshua? To be like Yahshua. The word for saved in Hebrew is no less than a type of the name of Yahshua. Say it to yourself out loud and let the ramifications settle deep within your soul. What must a man do to be a Yeshua? Wise ones personify this. I must decrease. Thank you, Yeshua, that anything good in me is you. What must I do to be like you? And they never leave this place ever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, so many people often tell me, and I even have the tendency, and people could say, well, before I was saved or before I knew Yeshua, I was a good person. I just needed to know him. If you have that thought process, that mind pattern, even people now think, oh, well, I'm a good person. I do good things. Good things according to who? According to what? The scriptures tell us what good is. And there are many people that know Yeshua that don't even do good now. Or at least they think they know him. They might know him, of him, but they don't have a personal relationship with him. Because if you do and if you did, you would not stop trying to figure out what you could do to be more like him. What you could do to be more like Yeshua. I want to read to you a scripture right now to answer that question. First, let's think about what Yeshua did for us. And then let's really realize how much are we really like Yeshua and how much are we deceiving ourselves? What the scriptures show us and what the scriptures say to us. Yeshua, who had all the power and everything, who had everything and could do anything, literally sitting at the right hand of the Father, literally part of the Father, became a human form, a little lower than the angels. He was sitting above them. Now he became lower than them. To come down to earth and become one of us. And to suffer like us. And to become a curse for us. And die for us. And take our curse upon him for us. He was willing to die for us. He humbled himself. And he was willing to die for us. Two things right there. Humility. So much so. To be willing to die for others. Now ask yourself, how much are you really like him? It says in Philippians 2, verse 8, he humbled himself in obedience to Yahweh and died a criminal's death on a cross. Do we get this? The attitude that's found in him. The attitude that's found in him. And we look at his attitude as we go on in verse 7. It says, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even a death on the cross. Therefore, Yahweh exalted him to a higher place and gave him the name above all names. We look at what it says in Isaiah 50, verse 5. Yahweh has opened my ears, and I have been, as I have been rebellious, nor have I turned back. Matthew 26:39 says, going a little further, he fell face down and prayed, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will. And John 10:18 says, no one take it from me, but lay it down to my own accord. I have the authority to lay it down and the authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. Romans 5:19, for just as thought, the disobedience of the one man, the many were made sinners. So also through the obedience of one man, many will be made righteous. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 8 verse 9 says, for you know the grace of Yahweh, a wonderful Messiah, Yeshua, that through him he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that through his poverty you might become rich. Hebrews 5:8, although he was a son, he learned obedience from what he suffered. Do we get these things? Hebrews 12:2 says, let's fix our eyes on Yeshua, the author and perfecter of our faith, for who the joy set before them, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, sat down at the right hand at the throne of Yahweh. And Hebrews 12:4 says, as you struggle in your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. Do we get this? How many of you want to be like Yeshua right now? How many of you say you're like him? How many of you are willing right this moment, not to tie up your affairs and to finish all these other things, this moment to get up and be willing to humble yourself enough and to die for him without any thought process in your mind of, I need to still get this done. I haven't gotten that done. No. When Yeshua said to his disciples, follow me, they got up, they did two things. They followed him and they told other people about him. Those were the two things they did. The attitude of Yeshua to be less like us and more like him. He came down to be like us so we could be raised up to be more like him. Do we get this? Do we understand this? This is an extreme important lesson, and this is what we have to understand. To be more like him. To humble ourselves like he humbled himself. To understand this, his attitude. It says in Philippians 2, is there any encouragement from belonging to Yeshua? Any comfort from his love? Any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? They make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and purpose. Verse 3 says, don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble. Thinking of others better than yourself. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others as well. This is what the scriptures are telling you. This is what we must understand. Don't be selfish. Humble yourselves. You must have the same attitude that Yeshua had. And we look and review and thought, what was that attitude again? Though he was Yahweh, our Elohim, our awesome creator, he did not think of the same level as Yahweh, as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in a human form, he humbled himself in obedience and died a criminal's death on a cross. Therefore, Yahweh elevated him to a place higher, his honor, and gave him the name above all names. That the name Yeshua, every knee shall bow, and in heavens and the earth and under the earth. And every tongue declares that Yeshua is Yahweh to the glory of the Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's time to shine brightly for Yeshua. It's time to let it shine and let it shine. We have to realize what he did for us and why he did it for us and what he wants us to become in him. Paul says in Philippians, going on to the rest of the chapter in 2:12, dear friends, you always followed my instructions when I was with you. And now that I'm away, it is even more important. Work hard to show the result of your salvation by obeying Yahweh with deep reverence and fear. That's the scripture I want you to write down. By obeying Yahweh with deep reverence and fear. Obeying. Obedience to what? What are we called to obey? His guidelines and instruction and his commandments. The common Christian church today is teaching people that the commandments were nailed to the cross and we no longer need to do them. Here Paul is pleading with them. When I'm gone, please be obedient to our Creator's guidelines and instructions. Give him the reverence that he deserves. It says in verse 13, for Yahweh is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. That again is his commandments. Verse 14 says, do everything without complaining and arguing. Do everything without complaining and arguing. How many people complain all day long? They even try to argue something. They're either arguing a wise point with a fool or a foolish point with a wise person. And they're complaining about everything. I have a tough time being around people that complain. Complaining all day long, not getting stuff done. Just complaining, complaining. Instead of complaining, we should be praising. So that no one can criticize you. Live clean, innocent lives as clean children of Yahweh, shining like a bright light in the world of a crooked and perverse people. Hold firmly to the word of life. Then on the day of Yeshua's return, I will be proud that I did not run the race in vain, and that my work was not useless. But I will rejoice even if I lose my life, pouring it out like a liquid offering to Yahweh, just like your faithful service is an offering to Yahweh. And I want all you to share that joy. Yes, you should rejoice, and I will share your joy. Do we understand this? What Yeshua actually did for us in humbling himself and then dying for us. And the joy that comes along with sharing this message with others. Do we get this? Do we realize this? The humility of our Creator saved us. That was an attitude that led to an action. And that's what He wants us to do. Thinking about others more than ourselves. Willing to be less. And let Yeshua be more in our lives. Yahweh showed this humility and humbled himself as he came down in the form of a man. We need to understand this. 2 Corinthians 8:9 says, "For know the grace of Yahweh, a wonderful Messiah, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor." Understand why he did these things. And then answer the call to humble ourselves and imitate him. We are to be imitators of Yeshua. James 4 verse 10 says, "Humble yourselves before Yahweh. And he will lift you up in honor, just like he lifted Yahweh up." Philippians 2, 5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Yeshua Messiah." And then this is it. This is the explaining of what to do in Micah 6, verse 8. "Know, O people, Yahweh has told you what is good. And this is what he requires of you. Do what is right, love mercy, and walk humbly with him." Those are the three things. Number one, to do what is right. That is the Torah, the guideline, the instructions of our Creator. Not just to know them, not just to talk about them, but to do them, to do what is right. And then to love mercy, to love mercy, to love it so much and understand how merciful he is to us. To love it so much to extend it to others. And as we see, to walk humbly with our Creator. To walk humbly. To be willing to come less. So he could be more in our lives. That's what he tries to do in our life. To humble us. It says in 1 Samuel 2:7, "Yahweh sends poverty and wealth. He humbles and he exalts." To humble us. You know, to be willing and able to confess our sins. To be willing and able to realize our shortcomings. To be willing and able to realize without Yeshua we are nothing. There is no good in us, not even a little bit, without him in our lives. That's it. To be willing to humble ourselves. Yahweh has an issue with with pride and the proud. He has a big issue with them. It says in Matthew 23, 10 to 12, "And do not be called masters either, because you have one master, the Messiah. The greatest among you will be your servant. Whomever exalts himself will be humbled, and whomever humbles himself will be exalted." Do we get that? Do we get that? So many people with their ego and their pride have the audacity to say before they knew Yeshua that they were good. "Well, I was always a good person. I just had to meet my maker." No. If you do not know Yeshua on a personal level, you are not a good person according to his word. According to his word. Some people might take offense to that. Who am I to call them somebody that's not a good person? Me, not a good person, that's who. Being on the same level of filthy as everyone else. And admitting it's only through Yeshua that we can be clean. Don't you understand? When you are prideful, when you think you've done stuff without Yeshua, you lean on yourself and your ego to make it through certain situations. That's pride. The scriptures tell us humility leads to depend on Yahweh and follow his ways. Jeremiah 10:23 says, I know, O Yahweh, that the way of a man is not in himself, that it is not man who walks to direct his steps. James 1:22 says, be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Pride leads to destruction. Humility is what helps us take on Yeshua and be more like him. That's it. Humility brings wisdom and honor, as it says in Wisdom 11, verse 2. When pride comes, then comes disgrace. But with humility comes wisdom. And Wisdom 22, verse 4, Proverbs 22, 4 says, but humility and the fear of Yahweh are riches and honor and life. The longer you take to humble yourself, the harder it becomes to figure all this out. In Exodus 10:3, we say, so Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and said to him, this is what Yahweh, the Elohim of Israel, the Hebrews, says. How long will you refuse to humble yourself before me? Let my people go so they may worship me. Refusing to humble yourself leads to disaster. Listen, folks. There's a lot going on today in these times. There's a lot happening in our lives. There's a lot of things we want to fix on our own. Our Creator is a great gift, a treasure store waiting to help us, wanting to help us. But we must take on the attitude of Yeshua, believing in him, having no doubt, being completely faithful in what he can accomplish in our lives. And the great testimonials that we see and hear, and all the for me, to follow me, to appreciate what I've done for you? Are we willing and are we ready to give up everything in him? That's a question to ask yourselves. And you need to start off with the question that we read in our devotional today. Do you think before you knew Yeshua, you were any good at all? Do you think without Yeshua completely in your life, there's any good in you? If you answer yes to that question, you've missed it. You don't understand it. Let go of the ego, humble yourself, and admit the truth. Without Yeshua, we are nothing but dirty, filthy rags. With him, we are everything. Hallelujah. Cleansed by his blood, healed, and a new creature. Praise Yah, praise Yah. Everybody with the truth, let's have a great day and joyful day. This is the day is made. Let's go and tell others about his amazing truth. Have a blessed day, everybody. Yahweh be with you, and shalom, shalom.
Come out of the world. You have been listening to Torah Life Ministries with your host, Paul Nisan. If you would like to learn more, please visit TorahLifeMinistries.org or call 917-407-2270. This program is made possible by the generous support of listeners like you. To donate, visit the website at TorahLifeMinistries.org or send your gift to Torah Life Ministries, P.O. Box 16156, West Palm Beach, Florida 33411. And thank you for your prayers and generous support. Torah Life Ministry.
We give you praise.